Welcome to the River of Life Church podcast, your home for weekly messages that will equip you in your spiritual growth. Thank you from everyone here at ROLC and enjoy the sermon.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning to everyone who's watching the broadcast. Thrilled to have you here. Aren't you glad that God's plan didn't stop at the resurrection? In fact, the resurrection was the birth, the beginning. That's when we were just getting started. And today, I'm going to talk about another significant event in the history of the Christian church that was crucial in order for there to be a church today. The church that was birthed at the resurrection could not have continued without what we'll be looking at. You'll find on Good Friday there was a crucifixion. On Easter Sunday, a resurrection. And then 40 days later, what transpired? The ascension. Dr. Steve Mathewson, he states this regarding the ascension. He says, the ascension is crucial, and it's life-changing and eternity-changing for us as believers. Now, just stop for a moment, pause. Why would he say this with such emphasis? Think about it. Without the ascension, do you know there would have not been any Pentecost? Without the ascension, there would not have been any indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Without the ascension, what Jesus promised, greater works than these you will do, that would have never transpired. Without the ascension, the New Testament would have never been written. It would have stopped at the resurrection. And without the ascension, there would be no rapture of the church. Because doesn't Scripture state, when the ascension happened, just as you've seen him go, he will come again? If he had never ascended to the right hand of the Father, we will not have that promise, that hope, of his return, that when the trumpet of God would sound in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ rising first, their bodies being reunited with their spirit and soul, and then we, Paul says in Thessalonians, who are alive, will be caught up in a moment. He even speeds it up a little quicker, in a twinkling of an eye, which is faster than a blink, to meet the Lord where? In the air. Without the ascension, how could he return in the air and summon us to rule and reign with him throughout eternity? And that's why without the ascension, the plan of God would have come to a standstill. Standstill. Have you ever seen standstills during your lifetime? Maybe with government, maybe with your jobs. A standstill, maybe with a situation in your life. You just want to push it on and just be a mover and put this behind you. Standstills happen. And had it not been for the ascension, everything would have come to an end during that time. You see, the ascension, listen to this. The ascension was, past tense, the ascension was the final link that enabled God's power to connect with man. That's important. We wouldn't have the power of God without the ascension. So with this in mind, turn in your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 17. Open your devices, bring your Bibles to church. I can't stress enough, we are a teaching church. We become familiar with the Word of God by using the Word of God. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 17, and it reads, Jesus said to her, speaking to Mary, do not cling to me, for I have not yet, here's that word, ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending, there it is again, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Holy Spirit, just anoint this service, open eyes, open hearts, open ears. Father, may I be your mouthpiece. Holy Spirit, move. Touch lives here in this building. and those around the world who are listening right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's the Sunday following the crucifixion of Jesus. Still grieving, Mary rises early to visit the tomb of Jesus. Mary Magdalene. After arriving, she discovers something. She sees an empty grave. She looks, she's disturbed, she hasn't registered yet that Jesus was resurrected. That's why when she carried on a conversation with an angelic being, saying, "Where have they taken my master?" she thought he was a gardener. "Have they stolen him? Please show me where they have taken him that I may care for him." Remember when I said faith sees beyond to the other side? Well, right now, as I brought out on Easter Sunday, all of the followers of Jesus, including Mary, their faith had been shaken. All that they could see was what was, not what was waiting on the other side. And so that was quickly going to change as she began to have a revival of the resurrected King. Amen? Thank God for that. So here she is at an empty grave, not realizing Jesus had been resurrected. But following that conversation, and then when Jesus reveals himself to her, sharing those words we just read in Scripture, she knew she had a message to share. She was commanded to go and tell his brothers, tell the disciples, tell the others that he was resurrected. And this is when Jesus, towards the end of this verse, begins to reference what we're going to be looking at today, the ascension. The miracle that would bring heaven to earth. Because remember the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," where? "On earth as it is in heaven." Now when Jesus, during his earthly existence, 33 and one half years, walked this earth when he was born, heaven touched earth. But it couldn't remain exclusive to one human body. And that's why Jesus had to ascend so that the Holy Spirit could descend. And that everything that was applicable for Jesus, conquering sin, death, and the grave, would be applicable for we the church. How many of you feel like a conqueror today? You know, sometimes we don't feel like one, do we? But whether we feel it or not, the Word of God is still yes and amen. His promises don't change. Again, that's where faith comes in. Faith calls those things which are not as though they are. Jesus saw beyond the grave to the other side. He saw the resurrection. He saw his ascension. He saw the rapture. He saw his second coming to establish his never-ending eternal kingdom. He saw beyond. And that's why, again, the miracle of the ascension brought heaven to earth. The miracle that would usher in the Holy Spirit. And that's why during this conversation between Mary and Jesus, Jesus then actually rebuked Mary, commanding her to do what? Write it down. To let go. To let go. Now, why would Jesus do this? Why would he say let go? He had already touched her. If he had taken and when he appeared and was in her presence, she had already touched him. So in response to the touch, he said, "Let go." You'll find that some theologians bring out that Jesus was referencing his role as the high priest. That he could not be touched by that which was unholy, that which had not yet been made holy, sanctified by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. You see, it wasn't until the day of Pentecost, here's an interesting point, and I encourage you to research this. The first person who was ever born again was Jesus. He had to die spiritually physically, right? Spiritually and physically. And then when he rose from the dead, he was reborn. Physically, never to die again. And spiritually, he was brought back to life. He took our death. He took our spiritual death so that he could bring his life to us. Now, when he was resurrected and there Mary Magdalene was speaking with him, she was not born again yet. Then during that 40-day period between the resurrection and his ascension, all of the disciples, all of the followers, none of them were born again. Even after his ascension, they were followers, but the born-again miracle experience had not transpired yet. Well, when did that happen? We're born of who? The Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, what happened? The Holy Spirit was poured out. That's why on the day of Pentecost, there was a twofold miracle. They were born again spiritually. That's when the Holy Spirit took up residence right then. He was not living within the church, believers, Christians, followers before that. The day the Holy Spirit was poured out, the Spirit of God regenerated all 120 in the upper room. And then when Peter and the disciples took that encounter from that upper room to the streets, 3,000 were saved. And then immediately born again. The work of salvation, the born again encounter, is solely and exclusive to the Holy Spirit's work in us. And that's why the ascension, none that is possible now for us, moving forward from that point in time in history, would have ever been possible or capable. And that's why when Jesus said to Mary, "Don't touch me, let go," he had already presented his blood to the Father. He had already revealed himself and shown himself as the spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Again, you'll find throughout that period, others touched him before the ascension. So what was Jesus saying? He wasn't dealing with what he had already accomplished, presenting the spotless blood without wrinkle or blemish to atone for the sins of the world. He was dealing with Mary's life, being trapped in the past, being trapped at his death, and not seeing what God was doing now. He was telling her to let go of what was so that she could embrace what would be. Look at Paul's words when he speaks to the Philippian church, chapter 3, verse 13. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. Sometimes we're so wounded or scarred or hurt or blinded is the even better word. By what was, we can't see what God says is. Become trapped. And Mary was trapped at the cross. That's why we as believers, yes, there's a crucifix that shows Christ suffering. But listen to me, he's no longer on that cross. That's why we at the river have an empty cross. Because that symbolizes the atonement, but yet the power and the hope that the resurrection has brought to mankind. Thank God for the resurrection. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that means in order for Mary to receive what would be, she had to let go of what was. And the same is true of us, forgetting those things which are behind. Our dog Gus, he is now 6 years old. He's a soft coat Wheaton Terrier. And he enjoys, and honestly, so do Cindy and I, playing fetch. So he has different toys that he'll bring to us, and we know when he picks it up and brings that toy to us, he is saying he wants to have an interaction. He wants to play a game. He wants to enjoy a relationship. He wants to play fetch. So Gus determines when he wants to because we've tried to stimulate the game, and he just looks at us. But when he takes and initiates, we pick it up, we throw it, whether outside with a frisbee or inside, And he brings a toy and we throw it down through the kitchen to the hallway by the garage entrance. He runs as fast as he can. He picks it up, shakes his head. His ears flop around. And he comes back and he stands before us. And sometimes he'll drop it. Sometimes he wants a little tug of war. So we grab it and he shakes his head. We get it, we throw it again. Well, after about 3-4 times, then when we throw it, he just looks at us and says, "I'm done. I'm done." Now, the thing about playing fetch is, in order for the game to continue, when Gus brings that toy back, he has to let go. And the same thing is true for us spiritually. If we're really going to experience all that God has for us, you've got to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to show you how to let go of your past, your failures, your mistakes. Next Sunday, I'm preaching a sermon titled Labels. People put labels on us, and they're usually not good labels. They're based on our failures, our mistakes, our weaknesses. Nicknames that can be an inference of something not so positive. Sometimes we put labels on ourselves because we see our shortcomings and where we've missed the mark, and then we put this label defining ourselves by our mistakes, and especially as believers rather than through the blood of Jesus. And that's all part of the letting go. Learning how to remove those labels and to allow what God has spoken over us. Do you know God has put a label on every single one of you? He's put a label on me. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. That I have a future that is greater than my past. Amen. Mary had to let go. And once she let go, do you know that's when she was empowered to do what? Go. You got to let go to go. It's like a boat, you know, departing from a dock. You have the ropes that are tied to keep it, you know, secure at the dock. But once the ropes are untied, once they've been let go of, then it can begin to proceed and make its journey. And when we let go of all of those things that have ensnared us, that have caused us to be stalled, trapped, stuck, we're not moving forward. We're not stepping into what God has prepared for us. Once we let go, then we can step into what the Lord has prepared. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. You know what that verse is telling us? You can't even begin to imagine what the Lord has prepared for you. But when we haven't let go, when we haven't untied the ropes to the dock, we're stuck. And we can't forge into what God has prepared for us ahead. That's why going where you've never gone before involves faith. I'll say it again, that song really resonated with me in worship. Faith sees beyond, just as Jesus did. He saw beyond the grave. When that crown of thorns was put on his head, he saw beyond that. When he was hit with those 40 less one, 39 lashes, he saw beyond the lashing. When the nails were put through his hands and feet and the spear through his side, on that cross, he saw beyond the cross. Finally, when his spirit and soul left his body, he went down into paradise. There he was in paradise, but still he saw beyond that temporary holding place. He was looking at all that he was being faithful to fulfill through the eyes of faith. And if you're going to go where you've never gone before, you've got to do the same. Do you know what Mary really was for us, the church believers? Think about it. The first one that was given the honor to see the resurrected Jesus. That shows how much Jesus esteemed her faith and her commitment. What an honor to be the first. She was the tip of the spear for what God would do in the Christian church. Not only then, but millenniums later. John 20, 17, go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, can you imagine when she found her way back to the disciples and she began to share this word? This word to the disciples was unbelievable. Did you hear that? That had never happened before. Oh, they saw it with Lazarus. But Lazarus was raised from the dead just to die another day. But an eternal resurrection, bringing eternal life? No, not happening. They forgot everything Jesus had shared. And how many of us have done the same thing when we're in a trying moment? We're in the pressure cooker. Because that's where they still were. Even though Jesus was resurrected, the others didn't know. And there they were still, just steeped in all of that grief, fear, doubt, unbelief. They had forgotten everything Jesus said. But she went anyhow. She was the first to witness the resurrection. She knew the disciples would be resistant because she was in the same place emotionally at one time just prior to that encounter with Jesus. And the disciples were still there. So she knew how deep this went. She knew how strong this emotional weight was. And she knew it would have to take Jesus to break it. And she knew he could because she just spoke with him. She just saw him, the resurrected. That was miracle enough to believe for whatever you need in life. So she went. But because she let go, that's why she was empowered to go to them, to share what she had seen, to share what she had saw and heard. Not in her own strength, but in God's strength. Which tells us what? That God always rewards obedience. What is the one thing that Satan uses to create sin in our lives? Disobedience. You want a good definition of sin? It's disobeying God's commands and ways. That's sin. Sometimes we look for the labels. There are a lot of labels that represent disobedience. But disobedience, that's what Adam and Eve were guilty of in the garden, right? You can eat of every tree in the garden except this one. This one is mine, Adam. This one is mine, Eve. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't an evil tree. It wasn't the sin tree. It was God's tree. And what caused sin to enter all of creation as well as the human race wasn't the fault of that tree. It was the fault of Adam and Eve. Eve eating first and passing to her husband. Disobedience. God said, don't eat. They ate. They wanted to fulfill a natural craving. It was pleasant to the eye. How many of you would eat something that was repulsive in view? Think of some of the foods. Think of some of the scenes your eyes have unfortunately witnessed during your lifetime that were repulsive to look at. Satan will always, when he is trying to stimulate disobedience, make it look appealing. Pleasant to the eye. That's a good-looking man. That's a good-looking woman. Right? All that money, think of what it could do for me. That looks good. That would look really good in my bank account. And Satan will take, as he did with Eve, it was pleasant to the eye. And they also knew, without tasting, that it would be wonderful to the palate, something they would enjoy as a food. So they put their own desires above their own, above God's, I mean. And then when Satan said, eat of this tree, they disobeyed. That's what brought in sin. That's why God always rewards obedience. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. What did God say through the prophet? If you are willing and, say it, obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Abraham, he understood obedience, didn't he? And God gave birth to a nation through this man. Daniel understood obedience, and he survived a night in the lion's den, and the name of the Lord was glorified. And Jesus as well understood obedience, and that's why he is and will always be the Savior of the world. And now Mary, here she is. She was commanded to tell the disciples about this, my closing point, event. Here she had to let go so she could go. And now the message she would carry would be about the event of his resurrection. Again, they hadn't heard about his resurrection, and now she's talking about his ascension. That takes faith, doesn't it? Think about that. They hadn't even processed the resurrection. They didn't even believe yet in the resurrection. And she's not only supposed to tell them about the resurrection, but it's no coincidence. It's no mistake that Jesus also told her, in conjunction with the resurrection, you tell them I'm ascending. Speak to them about the ascension. They need to understand the power of the ascension. You see, Jesus knew once all of the disciples and his followers saw him again, resurrected, when he would leave and depart to go to the Father, they would grieve all over. He didn't want all of that grieving to be rehashed. He wanted them to understand the bigger picture, the purpose, the resurrection and the ascension. Let's put it in the natural, everybody can understand. Or like peanut butter and jelly. They go together. You don't have one without the other. Now, some may do that. But with God, he's always a PB&J kind of guy. Kind of God. Amen? When it comes to spiritual principles. So the ascension. This event was important. Without it, again, there would be no church. Jesus got that. Why don't you just stay now, Lord? Set up your kingdom of David. Be the new king of Israel. What God was doing was beyond just a region in the Middle East, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. It was about the world. It was about the earth, the globe. That would prepare the way for kingdoms yet to come. Tomorrow is the solar eclipse. Now, when you think about that event, it shows you how big God is. That when something like that, something that God created, the moon and the sun, and then there'll be a display through the laws of nature which God instituted. He's the one that drew the line where the seas cannot go past. He's the one, by his word, that has caused every single one of those planets to maintain their boundary lines. And the same God who did all of that, don't you think when you look at eternity in light of forever, that all of those planets, all of those stars, all of those creations are not just there to be like ornaments on a tree? But the scripture says there are kingdoms yet to come. Now, I can't say what they are because the word doesn't say what they are. But I know God is intentional. And we're going to rule and reign for eternity. Not only over this earth with him, but kingdoms yet to come. So whatever that is, I know that eternal life and forever is going to be nonstop moments of excitement, joy, and we will never get bored serving our Lord in the ages yet to come. He's the Ancient of Days. Once we step into eternity, then we'll begin to experience his Ancient of Days in our own lives. Praise God. So here you see all of this. God always has the bigger picture in mind. There would be no church without the ascension. Now, here's a very interesting point I want to share with you. Do you know that theologians refer to the ascension as the second resurrection? How many have ever heard that? Well, now you have. The first was his resurrection from paradise, that holding place under the earth for the righteous, where he preached during that time to those who were waiting for Messiah. The first resurrection was the resurrection of Jesus from paradise under the earth back to earth. He was resurrected, came out of that tomb on earth. But then the second resurrection took place from the earth, right, back to heaven, where God's throne is. So he sent it from under the earth to earth, and then from earth to heaven, all of it together. You see, the resurrection of Jesus established his authority. His authority over what? The kingdom of darkness, and the ascension of Jesus established his authority over the kingdoms, plural, of men. So that's why it says in Scripture, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, whether they like it or not, this will transpire, that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. His resurrections were authority over the kingdom of darkness and the kingdoms of men. Because of the ascension, the church was born. Think about that. Pentecost followed the ascension. Because of the ascension, the church was born. Pentecost was released. Thank the Lord for Pentecost. Because of the ascension, the message of the gospel has grown from the streets of Jerusalem to the four corners of the earth. And because of the ascension, the promise of the rapture is ours. He could not return if he had never departed. And by the way, I believe with all my spirit that the rapture of the church is just around the corner. Two words for you there. Get ready. Get ready. Praise the Lord. Jesus had to ascend in order for God's kingdom to descend. Look what Paul says in Ephesians 2:6. And God has raised us. Who? Us, the church, believers. And God has raised us up with him. That's resurrection power. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's you. That's me. That's Paul telling us that because of the resurrection and the miracle and the ascension, that when Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church, your new label, your new identity is this. You're co-crucified with Christ. You were co-buried with him. You co-resurrected with him when he came up from the dead. You co-ascended with him to the right hand of the Father. You're co-seated with him, Paul says, in heavenly places, which also means we are co-reigning with him forever. And this is why every Christian possesses not only resurrection power, but ascension power. It's time to embrace. It's already there. We've just got to embrace it. Time to embrace what, Pastor Craig? It's time to embrace the benefits of the ascension. Those benefits begin at salvation, and then they continue to grow as we make it a lifestyle for a lifetime that translates into an eternal lifetime. Amen? It's just living it, being it, doing it. No compromise, no replacements. Lord, what you've done, now I want to grow in that. When you allow him to plant the seed, if you do your part and just make your commitment to him, Lord, there's no turning back now. This is an eternal commitment. This is a lifetime commitment. I'm going to seek after you. Lord, I want to pray. Lord, I want to spend time in your word. It's more seed in the soil of my life. So my mind can be changed. I can begin to think the way you think and see myself the way you see me, rather than being stuck like Mary before she let go. We can't go forward in the promises of God and in the blessing of the ascension and the resurrection until we make it. It's our lifestyle. It's just what is, not what could be, Not one of many options. It's the only option. Our kids need this. When they see this in us, it'll change them forever. I'm telling you, you won't always be there for your children as a parent. But you can give them something that will never leave them. The knowledge of God's word. The knowledge of his resurrection, his ascension. The truth of Jesus. So that in an ever-changing world, they can remain steady. Because they understand and they are committed to a never-changing God. It begins now. And then it goes on forever. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's all I have to say. How many are ready and desire to experience the benefits of the ascension? How many? Look at what's yours because of it. Understanding what's there, all you need to do now is go get it. Go get it. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I will study to show myself approved to God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of God changes how we think, which will change how we live. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be freed up here? A lot of people, they say, why am I still tormented? Well, you've got to replace all of those old negatives, all of that grief from the past. Like Mary, she was stuck. You've got to see beyond your failure. You've got to see what God has made possible. Then go after it. Go after it. Devour it. Amen? Let's all stand. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. It's liberating. Lord, for people to understand why the ascension was just as essential as the resurrection. That's life-changing. So I pray now all of the promises, all of the blessings, all of the inheritance that goes with the ascension. Lord, as people come and pray around these altars, I just pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, take this word and make it rhema, make it revelation. Lord, I know when we come to that place where you reveal yourself to us through your word, we're never the same. So I just pray a baptism of rhema, revelation, around these altars that will bring liberation in the name of Jesus. And if there's anyone here that has never given their hearts to Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, I pray they'll pray this prayer with me right now. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. And I need forgiveness. I confess my sins with my mouth. I believe in my heart that you've forgiven me. So I invite Jesus Christ to come into my life, to be my Savior, to be my Lord. I embrace the power of his resurrection and the power of his ascension. In Jesus' name, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm born again. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the River of Life Church podcast. Subscribe and rate us right now on iTunes to be first to get access to new audio messages every week. Visit ROLCDoylestown.org or like us on Facebook to always stay up to date on what's going on at ROLC. If you would like to support this ministry, visit the online giving page at our website. Join us next time for more from River of Life Church.